Hello and welcome to the Cafe Hustle podcast and to this episode where I'm chatting to Eric Vaughan Johnson of the Old Farm Cafe in Rochester, New York. Now, we talk a lot on the Cafe Hustle about the guest experience and what goes into that, all the touch points that a customer will have, what they see, what they feel, what they smell when they interact with our teams in our coffee shops. Now, Eric at the Old Farm Cafe has taken things to a whole new level, and we're going to find out more about that business today. And really, this is all about making you feel, when you step into this cafe, it's like you are stepping outside and sitting on the outside of an old barn and the whole theatrical experience that goes along with that. You're essentially being transported into a set on a stage and being part of the reenactment of sitting outside that old barn. So we're going to get into this episode now. We're going to talk a lot about how they take that customer experience to the next level, what inspired them to begin this venture, and also some of the really big challenges that they've faced in getting set up and starting the business in the way that it differs from setting up a set. So we're going to jump into this episode after we get back from thanking our sponsor. Gone are the days where you can plan your schedule on a spreadsheet and pin it to a notice board. You need to check out Rotocloud, the people management platform for shift-based teams, where you can see how much easier planning rotas, recording attendance, managing annual leave can be. Head over to thecafehustle.com/Rotocloud and sign up for your 30-day free trial. Eric, thank you very much for joining me on the Cafe Hustle. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm really good. Yeah, we've big things. Well, very busy week for me this week. This week I'm off to a trade show later in the week, so just trying to get prepared for that, really. But it's but today I want to brought you on the Cafe Hustle to talk about your cafe, the Old Farm Cafe, which, as we'll find out as the episode goes on, it's a little bit different to what most people understand as the normal coffee shop in terms of what they find on the high street. But first of all, I want to know what your mission is, your purpose, what keeps you motivated to do what you do.
Sure. Well, thank you for having me on today. You know, we love what we do. You know, our whole team, I run OFC Creations, which has been around since 2005. It's evolved over the years to be something so much more than I ever expected. I was actually in middle school, going into high school when I started OFC Creations. And it was a club, a group of students that some students that didn't fit in, some students that were looking for opportunities to do art, to do creative projects that didn't exist or were very limited. And so I've been a big believer in creating your own opportunities, right? If something is not available to you or if it's very minimal, okay, well, let's find a way to do it ourselves then, and we'll create that opportunity. And that's kind of what OFC's evolved to over the years. OFC Creations is a performing arts company. We own a theater in Rochester, New York. And the theater is primarily for kids ages 4 to 18 to learn about acting, singing, and dance. So that's what they do pretty much all day. We do a big summer camp program. We do after school and weekend programs. And that has evolved to them wanting to be here more. And as they get involved with one thing, they want to join something else. And so we found that parents of these kids were sitting out in the parking lot with their laptop on their chest, in their car, all scrunched up, having nothing to do for 2 hours. And it was just very uncomfortable for them because we didn't, you know, with the pandemic and everything, we really didn't have a space that we could let them come inside. So that's what led us to this cafe, and it all kind of snowballed from there.
So tell us a little bit about what your background is. What work have you done? Is it purely, have you been working full time on OFC Creations since you left school? What have you done before you got to operate in the cafe?
You know, if looking back to how I was at 12 or 13 years old, whatever I was when this all started, I don't think I ever imagined it would become what it is today. After I left high school, after I graduated, went on to college for performing arts, for theater directing. And prior to that, I had already been directing several shows. I'd been in shows. I realized that I loved leading a team. I loved creating something really special for that is entertaining. And so I directed a few shows, and in college, they really wanted me to take a step back and say, whoa, 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 you're ahead of the game. You need to take a step back and learn the way we want you to learn. Maybe by senior year, you'll have a chance to direct something. And I went, I'm not going to sit here for 3 or 4 years waiting and doing book work to get my hands dirty again. My passion is I know what my passion is. And so I decided school was not right for me for college. And immediately when I left college after freshman year, I was offered a job at a theater, at a performing arts theater. And it turned into full time. And it just was kind of being in the right place at the right time with some passion in me. So I worked for this theater. I designed their educational programs. I directed a bunch of shows. We grew as a theater organization. And all of this time, OFC Creations was still there. It was still kind of in the background where we could do a program or two a year. We went into schools and we ran their drama program, or we taught some private lessons. So it kind of just evolved naturally. And that's what led me to saying, hey, this OFC Creations that I started years ago really could be my full-time endeavor. And we took that kind of that leap of faith.
Yeah. As most entrepreneurs do, we've got to, and like you say, when you get people trying to put you in a box or sort of hold you back in a way, and like you said, waiting 3 or 4 years, anyone with any drive is going to think, well, hang on a minute. I've got a lot to offer here. And the last thing you want to be doing is, like you say, stuck in looking at books and right. Before you get that chance. So let's move now to the cafe. And just yes. Tell us more about the concept of what the cafe is.
Sure. So, I'm an avid Disney World lover. I go multiple times a year prior to the pandemic, and since things started loosening up again, we've been a couple times. We actually just got back from taking a group of teenagers to Disney World to perform. We took a group of 30 kids, and they all performed in Disney World and got to learn from the Disney experts. It was amazing. Yeah. And what is so enchanting about Disney World is how they make every step of the process feel like magic. I don't know how else to explain it, except for their attention to detail with every part, from you walking inside to waiting in line for 2 hours or whatever you're waiting. You still feel like you're part of the experience. It's not just ropes and things falling over. They are all thought through, and even the experience, if that's dining or if that's a ride that you're riding. And so, being someone in Disney, every time I go there, I learn something different that I wanted to do at the theater, in a show, as part of the experience. And we've always prided ourselves at OFC Creations on making the program that you're involved with, or the class that you're involved with, more than just a class or a program. We want them to feel like they're part of an experience. They're part of the excitement. They're helping create something bigger than what it is on paper. And so that's where the cafe came from. We knew we wanted something for families. We knew we wanted something for the parents that are sitting out in their car, on their laptop. We knew we wanted something that the kids, between their shows, sometimes they have a matinee and an evening show, they have this extra time where they have nothing to do for 2 hours. Give them somewhere to go. Get a coffee. They're all coming in with their Starbucks anyway. So, come on in with something that's local and right next door. And so we came up with the Old Farm Cafe, which is the theater owns the cafe. They're not separate entities. It's kind of in one. Our theater's in a shopping plaza. So we're like right next door to each other, this cafe. And so the cafe is a barnyard experience. It's just what it says in the title. People will come in to a room that is a small vestibule. You'll see an animatronic rabbit that'll greet you as you walk in. You'll get to see our logo. You'll smell the smells of the barnyard, not in a good way, like, you know, fields and flowers and things. And then it'll bring you in to this world where you feel like you're outside, even though you're inside the whole time. This works in our horrible winters here in New York, but also in the summertime as well. It can be summer, you know, basically all year round at the Old Farm Cafe.
And you touched on Disney there, and I think certainly on the podcast, we talk a lot about customer experience, and there is a lot that people can learn from Disney and their approach to that customer experience. And I know we've got a newsletter going out later this week talking exactly about how cafes, coffee shops, coffee houses can be more like Disney in their approach. Now, obviously, they've got massive, huge budgets and we can't always replicate what they do, but it's the mindset and the approach to that guest experience that they do, and they do so well. You know?
They do. Yeah.
There's nothing that comes before that experience. That magic has to be maintained because that's what the children are there for. That's what they're experiencing. And you can't have anything that detracts from that.
Totally. And, you know, there are people that can't get to Disney World or Niagara Falls. Absolutely. Or any of those Las Vegas. You know, they can't get to the places, the hubbubs of these type of experiences. And it's like, well, why can't we create something maybe on a little smaller of a scale? But why can't we offer something like that in our area? And so we hired a fantastic designer. His name is Jack Haldupas, and he was an artistic director of a local theater in the area for like 30 years. He retired and he started his own, you know, little boutique retail store where he creates paintings and lamps and other assorted items that he sells. And so he's known for creating show experiences, mainly on stage or in somebody's house or in a, you know, an office. And he really thinks outside the box. He has a brilliant mind. We brought him in to do this. And I said, hey, Jack, you know, you're the right person to make a theater set come to life around you. And so he was involved from every step in the process, from picking out what chairs we were using to what the floor was going to look like to the lighting. He had his strong opinions on what it should look like. And it's amazing to see nothing, an open, wide open space, transformed to something that was all in his mind in a matter of, you know, a little less than a year.
And if you're listening to this podcast now and you're trying to grasp what Eric's talking about here, this is not like someone walks through the front door of a coffee shop. They're literally enjoying their coffee and their food on set, aren't they? They're on the stage like they would be in a theater when, you know, they're in the middle of this. And this is what really made me want to speak to you, is they are in that experience. They're living that right there and then in the middle of it. And I want to talk really around, so staffing then, what do you do? Are your staff very similar to like at Disney? They are characters and they are in character whilst the customers are in the cafe.
You know, there's been I don't know if it's on a world level, but at least national level issue of finding staff and finding employees to work.
It's all over the world,
especially coming out of the pandemic. And we haven't had that problem. We've been very fortunate because of our student base. We have over 1,000 students at our theater. Our teenagers, our older high school and even graduated high school into college students have applied to work at this cafe. So they may not have the most experience in the world, but led by a couple very experienced coffee experts and food experts, we've been fully staffed. We're very fortunate. And with having a staff of people who are performers, they have no, you know, hesitation to put on the funny costume they have to wear as part of this experience. It's nothing too outrageous, but our general manager, she has a, you know, a cowboy farmer's hat on. They all have matching aprons and bandanas and You know, the workers have like a Newsies cap on their head. It's fun. You know, they're definitely not talking like farmers, but they are dressed the part. You know, they're in costume. They don't look like they've walked off the street. You feel like you're not in Rochester, New York anymore. You feel like you have been transported anywhere in the world other than here.
So in the second part of my chat with Eric, we're going to be talking about attracting staff and some of the challenges around that, providing more value to their customers, and also some of the challenges of operating a theatrical experience as a coffee shop when we get back from thanking our sponsors. What's your usual response when staff call in to say they're not going to make it into work? Are you frantically texting, emailing, sending WhatsApp messages in an effort to find cover by the time you open the doors? I know I've been there before, but there is a really easy way to deal with it. Road2Cloud is a people management platform that allows you to communicate directly with your staff and find replacements fast. They've got a great option to leave open shifts for people to take them, or you can quickly assign someone else that shift. With 24/7 access to the rota and shift updates immediately sent out across the team, staff can notify you if there's a problem, and you can even set up your employees so they can arrange their own cover, saving you the headache. Transform both yours and your team's experience when it comes to setting up the rotas and trying to deal with issues like this when they arise. Head over to thecafehustle.com/rotacloud to start your 30-day free trial and see the difference that rotacloud can make for your team. And I think you mentioned there you haven't struggled to attract staff. And like you say, certainly it's a national issue, but it is a global issue at the minute. And a lot of the stuff we talk about is how we can attract people, one, attract them back to the industry in general, but also retain them. But touching on what you said there, these people who are wanting to work for you are aligned to the purpose and the mission of what you're trying to achieve.
Right.
And this is something that I try to get across in certainly the conversations we have, but any conversation that I have with anyone in the industry. If you can align or be clear about what your purpose is or what your values are, you're more likely to attract the right people for your business.
Right.
And you're doing that by, you know, this is why I'm getting it. It's people who want to provide the same experience as what you're intending to provide.
Totally. And, you know, I think even looking back to when I was in high school, you know, the jobs, the part-time jobs I wanted to have was I worked at Build-A-Bear Workshop. You know, I was stuffing bears because it was a cool, unique job. And that led me to then becoming a manager at Laser Quest, you know, a laser tag facility. And that was a cool experience as well. And I look back at both of those, and those, even though it wasn't Disney World, those customer service interactive experiences, I think are a big reason why I chose the path that I did and where I'm going now. You know, I think that all of these employees, especially the ones that are in high school or just graduated, they're a part of something that's so much more than making a cup of coffee. They're a part of making a customer experience and looking at that customer service and looking at what's working and what's not working. And not for nothing, they're also a part of a grand opening. You know, there are always struggles when you first open a new venture that everybody's trying to figure out what they're doing. And you trial and error and you problem solve the best you can and you make it sustainable to move forward. And that's a big learning process that I think that these younger employees will be really fortunate when they look back in a handful of years.
Yeah. Well, you're talking there about providing that experience. And actually today, the 100th episode of the Cafe Hustle has gone live with Chris DeFerio of the Keys to the Shop podcast. And he talks exactly around that. Given the current economic climate, people are looking to get more value for the money that they're spending with us as coffee shops. And you're actually providing well beyond that value in that experience. And that's what we are now going to be trading on. Chris believes this, I believe this as well, is we're trading on that experience. It's not about great coffee or just great food anymore. The whole package has got to be right. And that's what's going to keep people coming back again and again.
Right. And listening to people too. You know, If something's not working, yeah, fix it. You know, you find a way to adjust. And if that's in the food or if that's in the staff or if that's somewhere, you know, you listen, you take it with a grain of salt because sometimes people just want to talk to talk. But you listen and you adjust and you listen to what the needs are in your community. And you try to meet those needs. And if it's in within your grasp, for sure.
Yeah. Now, obviously it's not a conventional cafe, again, as we or most of the audience will know it, a coffee shop to be. So what are some of the big challenges that you faced in getting the build out done and getting set up to open your doors to the public?
It was a really an uphill process. You know, I think that if, I don't know, if you had asked me, maybe I'm biased, but I think if you had asked me 5 years ago, what would be harder to do, open a coffee shop or open a performing arts center, I would say, oh, a performing arts center, by hands down. And I have completely changed my mind in that opening a performing arts center was far easier to do than this, which is crazy because you think about all the seats and the costumes and the set pieces and the curtains and stuff. But a lot of that we had already acquired over the years.
Yeah.
Opening this, so many things that because my mind wasn't in the restaurant and coffee shop world prior to this, things I hadn't thought of. You know, we're in a space that used to be a liquor store. It's a huge building. It's 12,000 square feet.
Wow.
We had tons of renovations to do, but things we hadn't realized, you know, although there were sprinklers in the building, a liquor shop or at least back in the day when the liquor shop was open, they weren't required to have a fire alarm system. Oh, well, now we got to put in a fire alarm system that we didn't think we had to do. You know, we have to do this plumbing, bringing plumbing from the back 12,000 square feet all the way up to the front 12,000 square feet. You know, major expenses that you think, oh, you're going to buy an oven, you're going to buy an espresso machine, you're going to buy this, that. No, like there are legit elements, you know, the ADA bathrooms. And it just adds on to each other. And at some point, you get into the process and you go, we're too far to turn back. You know, if you say you got to add another bathroom, well, that's what we got to do. Yeah. You know, you can't just give up now because we're already at that point. So we learned a lot. If we were to do this all again, there would definitely be things I would do differently to streamline and make it easier for everybody involved. But it was a learning process for myself and for everybody else involved to make this come to life.
Yeah. And I'd imagine there's certainly you're creating this almost theatrical experience. How did the interaction between function and obviously the stuff that you needed to have, like the sprinkler system and the set almost, how did you manage that interaction of the functional space, but as well maintaining that experience for your customers?
It was a challenge for sure. You know, our designer had things that he really wanted to see, but he said he was flexible on the exact placement. Like, he wanted all curved walls, none of the walls to be straight or to be on a corner. He wanted them all to be curved, which is tricky to build in construction. But, you know, if the wall needed to move six inches or so that or a foot so that they could fit in a bigger, you know, prep table or a larger counter space for the espresso machine, he was fine with that. You know, we came up with things that, you know, in a set, in a show, typically they allow you to use any piece on stage because it's considered a temporary fixture, right? You could build a tree, you can build, you can use fake plants, you can use all this stuff because it's only going to be there for a week or two max, right? In something like this, where the plants that are on the walls and plants around you, they're living there full time. They're not temporary. And we didn't realize they all needed to be inherently flame retardant. So we bought all the plants, couldn't use them, had to get all new plants. Gosh. You know, so it's that type of stuff that definitely slowed down the process, but made us realize things that, yes, it is a theater show that we're putting on for every day. Customers getting their coffee and their breakfast sandwich. But it's at a different level. It's at a sustainable long-term, you know, 10 or more years down the road, you want to make sure all those things are still keeping people safe. And, you know, people that are working at the cafe can work around them, right? How do you, a big piece of it was behind the counter where people, where they're making the drinks and everything, behind the counter is where the barn is. So the whole room is outdoors, but the actual barn that we're referring to is like the backsplash of the counter. And it was to be made out of this like very chopped up wood and very interesting to look at because it is so real. It's not painted. It's real wood that's been kind of cut up in slivers. Well, then we got into the realization that that's not practical for food prep and for coffee prep because you're splashing stuff up there. How are you going to clean it? How are you going to keep it from staying, you know, good for forever? So we had to adjust our plans again. Yeah. It still turned out great, but those are the elements that you have to think about when the end goal is to make coffee and to make food, not to have the barn the ideal way we were thinking at the very beginning.
I think it's great to see that how you've approached it. It's all, you know, you're presented by these problems and you have no other option but to deal with them in some way. And we all should think like that, you know, when we're anyone who's operating their business and there's never a period where you haven't got something to deal with. You've just got to deal with it. Cause like you say, you can't just throw the towel and be like, well, not dealing with this. Cause like, certainly for your point of view, you're so far into this,
right,
that you had to find a way, and that's the entrepreneur in you again, you find a way to handle these situations.
And not to say that I didn't want to give up at certain points. You know, it does get frustrating when you have such a vision and you have such incredible people working around you that are all on the same page to make something magic come to life, and you've spent time, you've spent money, and you've lost sleep just to find out that it's not possible, you know, for one reason or another. And that is frustrating. That does want to make you want to throw in the towel. But I had an incredible support team around me that were very encouraging and came up with solutions. You know, as theater people, we talk a lot about we are problem solvers. We're storytellers, but we're also problem solvers. And so when you get into a problem on stage, somebody forgets their line, the lights don't turn on right, the microphone cuts out, you have to problem solve as an actor. You have no other option. You can't say, okay, everybody, we're going to stop the show. See you later.
Yeah.
You got to figure out how to get through it. And I think that's how we approach everything at the cafe and the theater and everything else is how do we get through this problem positively and move on, you know?
Yeah. Now, if you were to do it all again, what are some of the big lessons that you would approach? If you'd approach it differently, what would you do differently this time?
Yeah, I think that that's a really great question. And because we opened 2 weeks ago, I haven't given that as much. I mean, I've thought of a couple little things, but I haven't written it down like I normally would. I think that overall, I would have looked at the timeline through a different point of view. You know, we had expected to open in June, late June. We run a massive summer camp program at our theater, and every camp was full with waiting lists. And we knew those kids and those families would want to come over to the cafe for lunch and for breakfast and snack breaks and things. And then, you know, weekends, we have the performances of all of their shows. Hundreds of people come see their kids perform the show that they've been working on all week. And they would come over between the shows or before the show to grab something. And we did not meet that timeline. We missed it by 2 months because of the issues I've already explained. I think I would have realized earlier on, wow, we're not going to meet this timeline, or we're going to need to bring on X, Y, and Z people to make this move faster. Or, It just was a lot of things that I'm not in the construction world. I'm not in the food world. I don't know the things I don't know. And I think that when we're in the theater and we're putting on a show, we've set the dates for that performance, right? It's this weekend or it's the next weekend. We know we have a week to get that set and the costumes done and the preparations and get it. And we're going to meet it either way because an audience is going to be showing up. It's a little different when it comes to a cafe or a coffee shop opening, that if the legal people in charge of the town say you can't open because you don't have your fire alarm system in, you can't open, you know? And I don't think prior to this I've ever missed a deadline. You know, I don't think I've ever set a deadline and not made it, you know, problem solved to find a way. But when it's out of your control, I think you have to take a step back and go, okay, this is not possible. How do we reassess? That would probably be the biggest thing I would have changed.
Yeah. And anyone who is listening to this now, like, there is a call to action in this episode. You have to go and check out, and I'll leave a links to the socials and in the show notes, but you have to see it to realize the impact of even just from the photos. And like I say, I've never been there, never seen it, but I could just see from the photos, it's not your ordinary cafe, but it's somewhere that you really want to be able to go to and experience. And I think you've done a really great job in setting up that feeling of the barn and being in out the front of a barn. And again, it's listen, congratulations for what you've achieved. And again, from an entrepreneur's point of view, you found that problem. You've identified that problem, like you say, of people sitting outside waiting for their children. And you've solved it with a cafe. So listen, Eric, thank you so much for coming on the Cafe Hustle. I really appreciate your time. And it's been great to speak to you about what actually went into creating it. I know when it comes to operating a cafe, I always used to talk about it's showtime, but it's right. Quite literally.
Yes.
In your case, it is. And it's just an extension of the concept of where we all perform to a certain extent each day serving our customers and yours just to a greater extent. So listen, thank you so much for coming on the Cafe Hustle. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
Now, when we talk about customer experience generally on the podcast, we're talking about the traditional element of experience. So the service, the interaction with your team and your people, with your customers. We talk about the quality of the service. We talk about things being clean and tidy and presentable. We talk about not having slops down your coffee cup. These are the sort of things that we generally talk about in terms of the customer experience and making sure that someone leaves your business in a positive way. But with Eric and his team at the Old Farm Old Farm Cafe, they are doing all that, but on top of that, they are providing this theatre. The baristas aren't just baristas, they are characters in this performance. I know there's been times in the past that I think of when we open the doors to the coffee shop, it's like it's showtime, and this has taken it to a whole different level. So genuinely, if you have ever thought about this, there's a lot more challenges that go into it other than just designing it so it looks like you're outside, or in that, certainly in the case of Eric and his coffee shop, making sure you have considerations for the construction side, because there are implications with that. And I know in our coffee shop, I thought I had this great idea of the wood cladding on the walls. And then obviously we had the issue of fireproofing. We had to deal with that. So yeah, there's a big challenge when it comes to something like this, but the payoff could be really great if people really feel immersed in that experience when they get into your coffee shop. So yeah, lots of inspiration there. And thank you very much to Eric for coming on the Cafe Hustle. Do you struggle to find enough hours in the day, and is staff admin taking up far too much of your time? With a people management platform like RotorCloud, you can plan rotas, record staff attendance, and manage annual leave all in one place, saving you time. That's what we're all about at the Cafe Hustle. Head over to thecafehustle.com/RotorCloud to find out more and join and get your 30-day free trial. And what's more, there's no credit card required. Get in there, test it out, and see how it can make a massive difference to you and your business.